Good morning. Would you all stand with me as we read the Word of the Living God this morning? Three passages from the Old Testament, two from the New, just to kind of season our thoughts here. May we hear the Word of the Lord. Jeremiah 31:3 says, "The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, 'I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness,' says God." That's awesome. Hosea 11:4 says, "I led them with the cords of human kindness, with ties of love. I lifted the yoke from their neck and bent down to feed them." 1 John 4:7 through 11 says, "Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Jeremiah 9:23-24, this is what the Lord says. So listen up, this is what the Lord says. "Let not the wise man boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches. But let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness and justice, righteousness on the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord." Jesus said this, "This is eternal life, that you may know the only true God." This is eternal life, that you may know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Father, we come before you this morning. Good morning, Lord. From our hearts, good morning, Lord God Almighty. Lord, we come this morning into this house, this gathering, this place of assembly to worship God. Lord, we come to try to understand you more. We come, Lord, to give you praise and thanks. We come, Lord, with questions. We seek answers. We have grateful hearts. We seek prayers answered, God. We come before the Lord Jesus this morning, the living Christ, that you would walk in our hearts and in this place. Father, we as your people pray for those in Pittsburgh yesterday. We pray against the evil of an individual walking into a synagogue and begin killing people and saying death to Jews. Lord, we pray for the police officers, that the first responders that came on scene and were in turn shot themselves. We pray for their families this morning as they recover. We thank you for their courage and their commitment to save life. We pray for the 11 people who passed away and their families, Jesus. Lord, you're the one that tells us we need to love one another. We pray that that would happen more in this world. What a better world this would be if we would just follow you. Help us, Lord, this morning to meet you and to know you, and help us, Lord, to follow you. We pray this for your glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. And y'all may be seated. So, last week I got a phone call from a good buddy of mine, Dr. Carr. He said, Frank, he said, on a bucket list of things I want to do in my life, I want to go to a Super Bowl, I want to go to a World Series game. I haven't done this yet. And he said, you know, the Dodgers are playing in the World Series next Saturday. If I got an extra ticket, would you sit with me? And so I prayed and prayed. And finally I felt a peace that maybe... So last night I was screaming and yelling at the World Series until my voice was... And it was a great game up till about the sixth inning or so, and then... Yeah, seventh, yeah, it was then. So you need to weep with those who weep. And yet he was rooting for Boston, so rejoice with those who rejoice. Yeah. You know, the funny thing is, so my My father was one that, my dad was raised in upstate New York, and he was a Brooklyn fan, Dodgers. And so I was raised to root for the Dodger Blue. And I asked my dad the other day, he's 91 now, he said he went to a World Series game, I think he says 1961 he went or something, I forget. So I finally got to go, and it was cool. You know, I remember this, and I've been thinking about this. When I was a little kid in elementary school, I remember a time when I was up in Big Bear, and we were out in a playground. And I remember, like, my friends were there, and we began bragging about our dads. My dad does this, and my dad's better than your dad. And I remember even saying, well, I think my dad can beat up your dad. Did you guys ever, you know, do things like this? You know, you're bragging about your dads. And in the Bible, God says through the prophet Jeremiah that if you're going to brag, you should brag about this, that you know your God. That the ultimate thing to brag about is that you know and understand the one who made you. Jesus says that to know God is eternal life. Anybody seeking eternal life in this room? Does that sound important? Jesus says, this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God. To know God is eternal life. People, knowing God is what we were made for. Knowing God is the highest goal that you could set for your life. Wisdom, riches, the highest goal that you could set for your life is to know God. 5 weeks ago, we entered on a journey. We started a series called Knowing God. And we thought it'd be really cool to try to unpack the scriptures and to explain to you who God is. And just, you know, we at this church, our mission is to help people meet and to know and to follow Jesus. And you can't follow somebody you don't know. You can't love somebody you don't know. And our hope is that you have got to meet God a little bit more in this series. We started out 5 weeks ago. We talked about the mystery of God's holiness, this incredible attribute of God called the holiness of God, the attribute that the angels sing about in heaven, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. It's the attribute that seems to surround all the others. The one that's most bragged about within the attribute of the Almighty Creator is His holiness. And until you try to grasp His holiness, you'll never get the cross. Why did this guy come and die for me? This holiness thing is awesome. So we talked about God's holiness, and then the next week we talked about how God never changes. It's called the immutability of God, that God is the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, and forever. God doesn't say He loves you one day and the next day you go, I changed my mind, I don't love you anymore. He doesn't change. In a world that changes all the time, God is the fixed. It's an awesome attribute of the Almighty. The next week we talked about how God, if you want to know God, you need to probably realize that He's powerful. He's really powerful. For a God that can create everything from nothing is power beyond your imagination. To know God, you should probably hear the rumor out there that He's a bit smarter than you. That God is intelligent. He's very intelligent. Theologians call it omniscience. He's all-knowing. God can never learn because He knows everything. And He's amazing. You can't outsmart God. God is smarter than you. And you should know that, right? If you want to know more about God, you should know that He's always present. He's not this God that was here and now He's gone and maybe someday. He's everywhere at once. He's omnipresent. And it's an awesome attribute to think that God is always with you. Jesus says, I'll never, ever leave you nor forsake you. And He's with us in this room, this presence of Almighty God. These attributes are awesome. The one this morning we want to talk about is essential. Anybody that wants to know God has got to get this one down. It's His love. If you really want to know God today, you all need to know and understand this. God is love. If you're going to take notes with me this morning, I want you to write this down. Right there, and if you're going to get an opportunity to be in a group with other people and discuss this message, if you're new here today, and what we do here at Woodbridge Church is we'll give this message, but then we have this thing called sermon-based growth groups, and throughout the week, there's 20-some groups that meet together, and they take the notes, and they just begin stirring in the message within a home setting. And if you want to be a part of that, let us know, and we'll get you in one this week. Here's note number one, people. God is love. John 4:8 says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Not that God has love, but he is love. It's an attribute of his being, which is amazing, and which is so unique to the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and the prophets. I'm a Reformed atheist. I've read the teachings of Buddha. I've read the Quran. Do you know how many times Allah tells you that he loves you in the Quran?
Zero.
He says he's merciful, compassionate. Nowhere in the Quran does this God say that he actually loves you. When you read the Eastern religions, none of these Eastern religions, these deities, say they love you. This God just doesn't have love. He is love. As a matter of fact, you're the object of his love. It's so unique. Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship between a creator and his creation. It's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing. Theologians call this omnibenevolence. God is love. Whatever God does, this attribute is always with him, like holiness and all the rest. He doesn't put these on a shelf. They're always active within the being of the Creator. He is love. And it's so important that you understand this attribute. Because if you don't, you will never know God in the relationship that he created for you to be with him. If you don't get this, you'll never be in the relationship that you were created for. When theologians or people begin to journey down this path, it begins to open up a world of questions. People pondering and meditating on this attribute of God will enter you into a plethora of questions. And I want you just to think with me this morning, just for a little bit. I want to get philosophical with you, in a sense. The Creator, in the very beginning, had four choices. And I want you to write these down this morning. In the beginning, the Creator had four possibilities as the creator of the known universe. And I want you to write these. Number one, God could have created nothing. He didn't have to create. He had an option to say, yeah, I could create, but I don't want to create. One of God's options in the very beginning, whenever that was, is he could have created nothing. He doesn't have to create to prove that he can. That was an option that he had. Number two, God could have created a world where there is no such thing as good or evil. He could have created a world of plants and trees and sunsets and the wind blowing and sat back and said, isn't that pretty? He could have created an amoral world. That was an option to the Almighty. He had a third option. God, in the very beginning, could have created a world where living moral beings could only choose good. There was no option of evil, no choice of evil. God could have created in a third option moral beings that had no choice but to do good, like robots. God could have done that, right? Or God had a fourth option. God could have created a world like the one that you and I are living in today, where moral beings would have the freedom to choose between good or evil. God had four options in the beginning. In the first three options, all of God's attributes would have existed and flourished except one. Do you know what it is? Love. Only in the fourth option would God's attribute of love have the possibility to flourish and to be expressed. With God's love toward us, listen. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord appeared to us in the past saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. God's love toward you. Who's God speaking to? The plants and the trees? No. He's speaking to mankind. Hosea 11:4, God says, I led them with the cords of human kindness, with ties of love. God's speaking about how he's dealt with his people. Ties of love. I lifted the yoke from their necks and bent down to feed them. Beautiful word picture, right? People, God isn't saying this to the plants or to the trees, but to very special beings, to moral beings, made in his image, with the ability of thought and reason and choice, able to respond to the Creator's love. You are so unique, you who walks on this planet today, you who breathe in this room right now, you are special. For you can go and marvel at a sunset tonight, but that sunset's not going to turn around and marvel at you. You are special. You have the ability of thought, reason, choice. You're a moral, free being made in the image of your Creator. You are unique who walks upon this earth. In the first three options, all of God's attributes would have existed and flourished except love. People, only in the fourth option that God gives is God's attribute of love have the ability to flourish and to be expressed by God loving and the possibility that these moral beings would respond to God's love. Only in the fourth option. Think about this. People, what is the number one commandment? For any of you that's read this book, just for a little bit, what is the number one thing the Almighty God wants from you in this room? To love Him back. It's the number one commandment. Do you know what God, I remember in my own journey and coming to a place of saying, I think this God is real. The first thing I said, well, what does He want from me? Does He want push-ups from me? Does He want to beat me up? And then all of a sudden you hear the number one commandment is God wants you to respond to His love for you. That's what He wants from you in this room. Hey, parents, what do you want from your kids more than anything else? Compliance? Love. And God's no different. Think about it. Jesus, one time, he was in Jerusalem on a Tuesday. We talked about this a few weeks ago, that God is omniscient. This person came up and said, Jesus, what is the number one thing God wants from us? And Jesus responds with this, Mark 12, 28-31. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating, because Jesus was smarter than anyone in Jerusalem ever. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, Jesus answered. This is Jesus. Is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There's no greater commandment than these. Jesus, one time, in 2 years, I'm going to take a group to Israel again. Our first day in Galilee, we walk on a beach. And it's the beach where Jesus pulled Peter aside. Jesus is arisen from the dead. Peter had denied Jesus three times in Jerusalem. Jesus is arisen. He takes Peter aside and they go for a walk. And for three times, Jesus says to Peter, Peter, I have a question for you. I need you to answer for me. Here it comes. Ready? Peter, do you love me? Peter says, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus says, feed my sheep. Peter, I got another question for you. Okay, what's this one? Peter, do you love me? Three times. It wasn't, do you believe in me? But do you love me? And it's the eternal question from the Almighty God to His beings. I have loved you. How do you respond? I want you to take notes this morning. You ready? Here it comes. Note number four, the supreme ethic that God has given to us on this earth is love. It is the supreme ethic in this fourth option of God's creation. The supreme ethic that God has given to us on this earth is love. To love God and to love one another. Jesus, the night before he dies, has his 12 disciples around him until Judas took off. Jesus says this in that upper room in three different settings. Just listen to what's on the heart of Jesus. Jesus is going to the cross. He knows it. And he's preparing his disciples. He's washing their feet. It's the Lord's table and this and that. Jesus says this in John 13, 34 and 35. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so that you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. John 15, 12 through 14, same upper room. My commandment is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends, and you are my friends if you do what I command you. Jesus is going and dying on a cross for his friends. There's no greater love than this. John 15, 7, still in the same setting. Jesus just keeps weaving it in like a hammer, pounding it into a nail. John 15, 7, this is my command, love each other. Love each other. The supreme ethic that God has given to us on this earth is? That was weak. The supreme ethic that God has given to us on earth is?
Love.
Love. Love for who? Who do you love first?
God.
Who do you love second?
Each other.
If you do that, you're not shooting people in synagogues, are you? The supreme ethic is love. The Apostle Paul, who once was a person who was a violent individual, big time, met Jesus, and Jesus changed his life. And the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth these words under the inspiration of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 13 says this, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that I can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all possessions to the poor and give my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres." Paul ends this by saying, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." The supreme ethic that God has given us on this earth is love. In his first three options, we wouldn't be talking about this morning. But God had a fourth option, the world that you and I live in today. In this world that you and I live in, God's attribute of omnibenevolence has the opportunity to thrive and flourish. That God can love beings that are able to respond and understand. Only in this fourth option does love exist. The supreme ethic on this fourth option that the Almighty gives to you and I is love. The love of God, love for each other. It's the essence of Christianity. Again, it is not a religion, but a loving relationship between a creator and its creation. This is what our faith is. This is what Jesus speaks of. But this is where it gets tricky. Take notes. Note number 6. Freedom is indispensable to love. Let that sink in. This is where it gets tricky. Freedom is indispensable to love. You can never love, you can never have love without the freedom of the will. Let me say that again. You can never have love without the freedom of the will. If you are compelled by some form of a mechanical universe, there's no love. There may be compliance, but you're never choosing. Freedom is indispensable to love because you can never have love without the freedom of the will. When God created this world, He created this world where His attribute of love can be expressed and responded to by beings made in His image, mankind, you and me in this room. But freedom is indispensable to an atmosphere where love can exist. You cannot have love without the freedom of the will. But here's the twist. If there's freedom of the will, people can choose not to love. Freedom also provides an atmosphere of evil to choose not to hate, to steal, to kill, to reject an all-loving God is evil. Why didn't God stop the man from pulling the trigger yesterday? Could God have? He chose not to. It's the world we live in. It's what it is. God gives human beings freedom of thought and will to respond or to not. And in God's sovereign plan, it's what it's about. You can't ask God to stop this, but not that. What does He pull back your leg every time you're going to cross the street? You're cooking coffee and He says bad for you and He makes it something else that you don't want? You will grab a piece of candy and throw it in your mouth tonight and God says candy's bad for you. It's going to cause your teeth to decay and the kids start eating broccoli tonight? Is that what it doesn't work that way. It works. Freedom is indispensable to the option of love. If you're compelled by some form of a mechanical universe, there's no love then. You might have compliance, but it's never an act of the will, of choosing. And this is our fourth world. The world that you and I live in today is unique. God created you in this world, and God made you in His image in this room. In this world, though, you are a fallen species. You still have the ability to meet and to know and to follow Jesus if you want to. To love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul or mind or not. It's your choice. To reject God, who is absolute light and goodness and love, is evil. To respond is the ultimate good. It's life. There's a sovereign purpose in all this. Many people would say that this book that I'm holding up right now is a love story between a creator and his creation. How has God shown you His love? You ever thought about this? Janis Joplin, the great theologian, once said, "If God loved me, He'd buy me a Mercedes-Benz." How has God loved you? I've been meditating on this verse. I love this verse. It's in 1 Timothy 6:17. It says this, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth," some people trying to win the lottery ticket, right? "Which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. I've underlined that in my Bible. God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. God shows his love to you every day. Everything that you enjoy on this earth is a gift from God. Everything that you enjoy on this earth today is a gift from God. Everything you see, if you go watch a sunset tonight and watch that go behind the Pacific Ocean, Catalina, you can only enjoy that because God has given you the eyes to see it. Every time that there's a little baby and you touch those little feet of a newborn baby, that soft skin is just incredible, isn't it? God has given you the ability to touch, to enjoy that. It's a gift from God. Every day you have the ability to touch something, it's because God's given you that gift to do it. Every time you hear, I love the sound of rain coming down, don't you? Every time you hear it, it's God. God gives you the ability to hear, to taste. How many people in here enjoy food? I was just asking little Raina in here. I walked her to her Sunday school class, little Raina. Do you see her? She's adorable. I was with her parents when she was first born, and I asked her, I said, are you going to come tonight for the candy? And she smiled. I said, do you like chocolate or do you like the hard candies? She goes, I like the hard candies. I said, are you going to share with me tonight? And she was quiet. I said, well, I'm going to share with you. Do you know every time you taste something and enjoy it, that's God giving you the ability to enjoy everything. It's a gift from God to you every day. I love it when it says in the scriptures that God causes the sun to fall upon the righteous and the wicked, the rain to fall upon the righteous and the wicked. Everything. What do you enjoy about God? Do you know that God has shown his love to you every day that you breathe, every breath that you breathe, every beat of your heart's a gift from the Almighty God? How has God shown his love toward you? Think about it. I love this verse. Who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Do you love him yet? This book's a love story between God and mankind. God loving mankind and mankind blowing it. Read Genesis chapter 1. Mankind, our ancestors, didn't respond to God's love very well, didn't trust God very good. They betrayed his love. They rejected him. And we as a species have been broken ever since. Mankind's called fallen. And yet God responds in love in Genesis with a plan of redemption. God keeps coming. From Genesis, God says to Abraham, from your seed, someone's going to come that's going to bless the world. First book of the Bible, last book of the Bible, God says that my son will come and set people free. And in between Genesis and the book of Revelation is us in this room. How has God responded? God is love. It's a love story. This. What does this say to you? And to me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe upon the one who would hung on that cross would have everlasting life. At the cross, all the attributes of God are upon it. Holiness, power, knowledge. He doesn't change. His presence. And God's love. Has God proven his love to you?
Yes.
Take notes. Last note this morning. God's ultimate proof of his love to you is centered in his son, Jesus. Think about that. God's ultimate proof of his love to you is centered in his son, Jesus. Romans 8, 39 and 40 says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in the world, in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing can can anything separate you from God's love through his son? Answer, nothing. Nothing. God's ultimate proof of his love for you is centered in his son. Do you feel loved yet? Only in this world that you and I live in can God's attribute of omnibenevolence flourish, in a world of freedom and choices. When you enter into this, the world begins to make sense. Do you love him? Can you love somebody you don't know? Answer? No. Knowing God. You cannot love someone you don't know. Do you know Jesus? The purpose of this church is to help people meet Jesus and to know him. And then you do with him what you wish. You cannot love somebody you do not know. Do you love him? And if you do, why? People, love is the ultimate motivator. It's the supreme ethic. The great theologian Augustine, in around 400 AD, said, "Love God and do what you want." Christianity made simple. Love God and do what you want. See, but if you love somebody, it changes the way you behave. Am I right? You can't love God and go rob a bank today. You can't love God and go walk into a synagogue and start shooting people made in his image. If you love somebody, it changes the way you live. You can't say, "I love my kids," while you're punching them in the face. You can't say, "I love my wife," while you're at a whorehouse. Your love for your Creator, as it grows, will be tested in the most vulnerable areas of your life. Your love for God will force you to make very difficult decisions that demand you to deal with your lust and your greed and your pride and your power, your desire to control, your temper, your patience. Your love for your God, if as it flourishes, will consume your behavior. And it changes your life. If you know God and you love him, your life changes. Love is the greatest motivator on earth. Fear is a great human motivator. Guilt is a great human motivator. Greed is an awesome human motivator. $1.6 billion. Think about that, right? Do you know what the ultimate motivator on the earth is? Love. Love. You know, I remember when my sons were little and we had Legos. We would play with, my kids would make Legos. And I remember one day coming home from work, and my little one, Jeremiah, had made me a Lego spaceship. Aww. "Daddy, I made you a spaceship." Now, I could have made a better spaceship. But he made it for me. And it was on my shelf. Because guess why he made, what was his motivation of making his daddy a little Lego spaceship? He loved his daddy. Love is the ultimate motivator on earth. If you want to know God, then you need to know that he's holy. Swim in that mystery. Hey, if you want to know God, you need to know he's powerful. Don't mess with him. You want to know God? You need to know that he's smarter than you. And when he tells you to do something, you ought to listen to him because he probably knows something you don't. Right? If some guy comes up out of the grave, you ought to listen to him because he probably knows something you don't. He's smarter than you. You want to know God? He doesn't change like you do. He's the same today, tomorrow, and forever. You want to know God? He's present. He's here. I got great news for you this morning. You want to know God? I got good news for you. He loves you. He doesn't hate you. You're made in his image. For God so loved the world. And he's not talking about the plants and the trees. Plants and trees aren't choosing for eternal life. What if God hated you? What if God wanted to beat the snot out of you? What would you do? Nothing. Good news. He doesn't want, he loves you. How do you plan on responding to that? This is truth. Take it for your life. What are you going to do with his love? Have you ever loved somebody that didn't love you? Anyone? I'm just curious. Are you in this room? Have you ever loved someone that didn't love you back? Do you think God can relate to that? Do you know that he's the expert of being rejected? He's the expert. Judas, you going to betray the Son of Man with a kiss? Jesus gives a parable about a prodigal. Do you think Jesus gave that in a vacuum? He in human flesh knows exactly what it's like to have your kids walk away from you. Have you ever loved someone that didn't love you back? God's the expert on that feeling. And yet he chooses anyway. And think about it with me for a moment, people. What does God have at the end of the book of Revelation that he didn't have at the beginning? Have you thought about this? Because I have. On my spiritual journey, I'm sitting there going, why? And I think about it. What does God have in the end that he didn't have in the beginning? Do you know what it is? Someday God's going to have people in heaven with him because they want to be. They chose to be. He's going to have angels in heaven that chose to be with him. And someday when it's all said and done, you know what? God is so smart. Do you know who he's going to have with him in eternity forever and ever and ever? People, human beings made in his image that choose to be with him. That's what he has when this thing's all done. And in the process of today, God right now is inviting people into his presence. And some come and some don't. The incredible love of God. In his sovereignty, he has a purpose. Where do you fit in it? What do you do with the love of God? Do you ignore it? Laugh at it? Bow your knee? You pursue him? You can't love him if you don't know him. You need to meet him. I did. Changed my life. There's a song that's on the radio called The Reckless Love of God. Some people don't like the song because they say that God's love is reckless, and God's love's not reckless. God is purposeful. That's true. First time I heard the song, I was in Israel. Day number 2 on the Sea of Galilee, my friend Aaron Young. We went from the side where Jesus had fed the 5,000, it was called the Jewish side, in Capernaum. We drove over, it's called the other side, or the side of the Gentiles, the side where the pigs exist. Jewish people don't eat pig. Did y'all know that? We went to the other side. Jesus got in a boat and he swam there. He took his disciples to the other side. And the other side, his Jewish disciples were like, I don't want to go to that side. I'm going to be defiled on that side. This is a side of darkness. This is a side of evil. This is a bad idea, Jesus. Bad move. What are we doing? What are we doing? They get to the other side, and who comes to greet him? Some demon-possessed dude that's naked, screaming and yelling. And I could see the disciples going, I told you. Jesus gets out of the boat and stops this dude in his tracks. And if you ever read Mark chapter 5, you'll find by the end, this guy was the first Gentile convert to Jesus. Reckless. The disciples would have said, your love for this man, Jesus, is reckless. The way you pursued this demon-possessed dude was reckless. The way God pursues you, is it reckless? Some could look at it and say, I think God's love for you is intentional and really bloody. There's no greater love than this. Someone would lay down his life for his friends. And by the end of him saying that, he was dead, hanging on a cross, dying for his friends. You want to know God? It's the heart of God. I'm going to ask for the worship team to come up and sing this song. And as we sing this song again, I want you to stir it in and to think about the love of God, the intentionality of God's love. He's laser focused. And as we sing this song, and we do this every week, I'm going to ask, it says in the Bible that if you come into a church and you need prayer, to seek out the leaders of the church and let them pray for you. If you have financial needs, physical needs, spiritual needs, emotional needs, maybe you're here today and your life just stinks beyond belief and you just need a touch of the Almighty God on your life, the scripture says to take a step of faith and come down and seek out the leaders of the church and let them pray for you. If you have an ailment, let them anoint you with oil. And so we practice this biblical mandate of James chapter 5 at the end of the message here at Woodbridge every week. And you know what? We've seen God heal people in this church. He's amazing in many ways, physical, emotional, spiritual. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus, you might want to come down today and say, I need to accept Christ now, and we'll pray with you, and you'll walk out of here a child of the Almighty. I'm going to ask for Mike and Pat to come up here and to pray with me and my wife, Cinda. I'm going to ask for Pastor Graham and BJ to come up, as well as Pastor Vince will be up in the balcony, as well as the Chows. But I want you to hear this song. What is that? Do you know there's evil in this world? Most of the times it's moms and dads stealing kids, their own children. What a crazy world we live in. The reckless love of Almighty God. Lord, we come before you this morning. God, do you know why we're here? We're not here because it's Sunday and we're supposed to. We want to be here, God. We are on a journey to meet you and know you and to follow you. We are on a spiritual journey trying to understand who are you, God? And what does your existence mean to our lives? You who created the stars in the sky and put them all into place and know them all by name. You who creates the DNA of life, the genetic code of existence. You who puts the solar systems into its flux and makes it happen. You're amazing. Who are you? God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, God of Moses, God of the prophets. Who are you, one who would come to Bethlehem? The one that'd be raised in Nazareth. The one who would do the most incredible things in Galilee. The one who would go to Jerusalem and hang on a cross. And 3 days later come up out of the grave and forever turn the world right side up. Who are you? And what do you mean to us? Help us, Lord, to understand your love. Help us, Lord, to feel your love. And to be consumed and controlled by your love. May your love change us from the inside out. May we be people identified as people who are loved by God.